You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Mary has been the object of attention for 2,000 years, sometimes too much and sometimes too little.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Thank you for parents and families, Lord God our Father, and for the gift of sons and daughters. Help us to live with one another in the grace of forgiveness, received from you for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, and sent forth into the world through your forgiven people. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about a woman, a special woman. We know a great deal about her. She is mentioned often in the New Testament, and she could very well be the best-known woman in the history of the world. She's the woman who said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." Her name is Mary. It was Mary who said to her cousin Elizabeth, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." A quiet little girl talked that way to her cousin, who lived in the quiet little back country in the hills of Judea. It wasn't unusual for girls to talk like that, because all the young people knew the language of the Old Testament in those days. There's nothing remarkable about somebody magnifying the Lord, but there is something special about this one. He has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. Unless that's somebody dreaming, it's something special. Mary has been the object of attention for 2,000 years, sometimes too much and sometimes too little. Sometimes she's been made to play a role in God's plan of salvation that sounds more like the role of her son. In response to this overemphasis, other people have allowed her to be ignored almost completely. The New Testament does not ignore her. The story of our Lord as a descendant of Abraham, the son of David, begins with her. His earthly sojourn ends with her, praying in the company of the disciples. After his ascension into heaven, she was there all the time, at his birth, in his youth, during his ministry, beneath the cross, on the day of his resurrection, and when he ascended to be visibly installed as Lord of heaven and earth. People all over the world are becoming more conscious of the role of women in human history. Anybody who doesn't recognize the role of women has been blind. Men are the sons of mothers. Women are their daughters. But the role has never stopped there. It doesn't today, and it did not with Mary. Pope Paul VI made an interesting statement about Mary, which many of you may not have heard. He said, "The modern woman will note with pleasant surprise," and by the way, it is a surprise to hear a pope talking this way, "that Mary of Nazareth, while completely devoted to the will of God, was far from being a timidly submissive woman one whose piety was repellent to others. On the contrary, she was a woman who did not hesitate to proclaim that God vindicates the humble and the oppressed and removes the powerful people of this world from their privileged position. Modern woman will recognize in Mary, who stands out among the poor and humble of the world, a woman of strength who experienced poverty and suffering, flight and exile. That's exactly the way Martin Luther used to talk about Mary. He had the highest regard, respect, and admiration for her. He talked about her a lot in his commentary on the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, which is our text for today. Martin Luther said that Mary was a very special woman. From the outset, it must be said that Mary was a woman, just like other women. She was a human being, like us. There's no reason to think of her as somehow uniquely different from other human beings. That's the very point of the story. It was from ordinary people, a line of ordinary human beings, some of them more distinguished for their mistakes than for their rectitude, that the Lord came when he was born. His mother was a real woman, and a mighty special one. We know about her because of him. No one should take this amiss, that a woman has become famous because of her son. No one needs to make her out to be someone she was not in order to build her up. She can hold her own all by herself with her own womanly determination, her own stubborn obstinacy woven in with her human and womanly wile, which enables women to get things out of their children that fathers cannot. It happened one day that she did just that. It was the day of a wedding. She was invited, and so was her son. He brought along a few uninvited guests, his new disciples, probably six of them. You know what happened. The wine ran out. She came to him and said to him in her wonderful womanly way, "They have no wine." Women have a way of getting right to the heart of a subject. He understood exactly what she was doing. He had not yet performed any miracles, and he said, "My time has not yet come." She said to those standing nearby, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." He did. There's a wonderful humanity all through the life of our Lord. It's the glory of the gospel that he was a real man, a real one. The plan of God triumphed in that man. He died and was raised from the dead, a man. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He carried our nature in victory over death and was declared to be the Son of God with power. He's the man of God's own choosing, as Martin Luther called him in his great hymn. He is Lord. No wonder, she said, all generations henceforth shall call me blessed. It was a great surprise, especially to her, that she was to be such a special woman. He has regarded, she said, the low estate of his handmaiden. It was a humble girl to whom the angel came in Nazareth, in a little town, off the beaten path, not the center of religion or anything else, to announce the birth of the world's Savior to her, his mother. It was not an easy time for her. The birth of God's Son to her, a virgin, could easily be misunderstood, and certainly was. She went along with Joseph to Bethlehem at a time when she was obviously pregnant, not because she had to go, but because she wanted to go. She was more comfortable to be along with him than to stay at home. So she said, "It happened that while they were there, the days were accomplished that the baby should be born." When he was born, she wrapped him in the borrowed things she could get together and laid him in the manger of a little stable where they were staying, because there was no room for them at the inn. This was the first time she knew what it was like to be a refugee. But she was to know again. She was anguished and concerned on more than one occasion. There was the day that she and Joseph came rushing back to find the boy in the temple after they thought he was along somewhere in the company. They thought they had lost him, and she was put out. As well she might be. She never forgot that day. She's the one who told Luke about it, how that 12-year-old boy helped to educate her. "Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business?" It was not a smart aleck remark. She went on to say that he went back to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them and grew physically and also in favor with God and man. She understood. That's the great thing about her. She was a very special woman. A lot of women never come to understand something special like this. But she did. Many people feel that they're relegated to secondary positions in life, and sometimes they are. She just played out her role to the hilt. She was his mother, and that's what she was going to be. There was one other day, sometimes called the busy day, when she and his brothers and sisters came to remonstrate with him because he was so busy. They were worried about him. She was playing the part of mother again. It was another day of education for her and for the rest of the family. That there was something special about him that caused him to redeem the time. He was going to redeem the world. And time was short. He did not alienate her, and she did not alienate him. She was always his mother, and she stayed by him right to the end. It was beneath the cross that he noticed her. He would. He was a real man. A real man does not despise his mother. He saw the sword that went through her soul, as old Simeon predicted one day it would. There it was. He could have felt sorry for himself, but he felt sorry for her. "Woman," he said, nodding his head to his mother. It was the way he always talked to her, not disrespectfully, but with a sense of her role in history. "Woman, behold your son," he said to a young man, John, standing nearby, "your mother." In Ephesus, where John lived, they will show you today a little cottage where Mary is supposed to have lived. I don't know whether she lived in that place or not, but there's no doubt in my mind that John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, acted as a son to Jesus' mother as long as she lived. None of us can forget, as she did not, what the angel said to her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." The story is about him, but it always includes her. He respected her and loved her. So must we. This is God's doing, not ours. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." God was her Savior, as he is yours. He made her something special, and he does the same for you. Not exactly in the same way, but something special for you. You women are the object of God's favor, as men are not. You have something great going for you. You are the mothers of the next generation and of the generation after that. Those of you who know what's going on recognize that those children of yours are his doing, not yours. They are meant to belong to him, not just to you and your husband. With all their realism, women seem to understand this, often better than men do. It's a unique thing to be the mother of a child, mother of a family. It was just that unique for Mary to be his mother. But it was something special. The father of this child was the Holy Spirit. She took whatever she had to take, the gossip of the neighborhood and everything else, to be his mother. A special woman under those circumstances who could say, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary was a special woman, full of enthusiasm. She accepted, and she was ready. "Be it unto me as you will," she said. Like a woman, she kept all these things locked up in her heart. She hung in there, no matter how rough the day. She had strength of character, staunch and faithful, confident that God was indeed her Savior. There was very little sentimentality about her. Women are realists. It's the men who turn out to be the romanticists. The reality of life was good enough for her, with faith and love that she found in her Son, Jesus Christ, and in God, her Savior. Far from being the passive, pallid, self-effacing person she's often been made out to be, in the true ring of the gospel accounts, she turns out to be a real woman, capable of bearing real grief, talking to her son as the real woman she was, and something special. Martin Luther understood the Virgin Mary. He said in his sermon on Matthew 18, "It is true, Mary is praiseworthy and can never be lauded and extolled enough." At the same time, he warned we should not laud and praise the mother of Jesus in such a way that we let the infant she bore to be torn from our eyes and our hearts. Mary would have been the first one to agree. She was not out to promote herself. She didn't want legends built around herself. She was the handmaiden of the Lord, and she was the mother of his son. She never allowed that to turn her head. That makes her something special. Christ alone receives the adoration and the praise. He received hers as he wants to receive yours. When I talk about his mother today, praise him. Praise the God who sent him. Praise the plan of salvation God our Father worked out in the power of his Spirit and made it all possible. He forgives your sins as he forgave hers. He gives you life as he gave life to her. He's your savior, as he was hers. When the women went out that day to see the tomb, Mary was not with them. Someone has suggested that maybe she was the only one who really believed him, that he was going to rise on the third day, as he had said. She was a special woman, a woman of faith. We do call her blessed today. The happy choice of God himself to be the mother of his son, and a good example for every woman anywhere in all the world, an example of loyalty and trust for all of us, a very special woman, and the finest example of womanhood anywhere. When we think of her, we all say, man and woman alike, praise the Lord. Amen.